last week, we started looking at the life of Jacob. We saw that Isaac and Rebekah had to wait many years. Eventually, they have twin boys. While Rebekah was pregnant with them, she got a prophecy that the twins would produce rival nations. And surprisingly, the older son was prophesied that he would serve the younger. And then Esau was born first, and as life went on, he was favored by Isaac. The reason that's mentioned is that he was a skilled hunter, and Isaac liked tasty game. There's probably more to it than just that, but that's the detail that Scripture preserves for us. Jacob was favored by Rebekah and was not a man of the countryside. And then as a young man, Esau demonstrated his disdain for the privilege of being Isaac's firstborn by trading that right for a pot of stew. And we saw that Jacob was interested in the family heritage, but was also willing to take advantage of his brother's vulnerable state to extract something of great value from his brother for something he knew to be of little value. So not the nicest thing to do to your brother, right? And we're going to start today with one of the wildest stories in Scripture. It's fascinating, it's dark, it's comical, it's an amazing work of literature. So we're going to pick up in Genesis 27. And if you had concerns about Jacob's character after last week, they're going to be worse this week. So let's pick up in 27:1, where we're told, "When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, 'My son, here I am,' he answered." And let's pause there. We don't know how long there was between what we read last week and this. What we know is if you back up into 26, just a couple of verses, we were told at the end of 26, when Esau was 40 years old, he married a couple of Hittite ladies, and they were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. So assuming we're moving in chronological order, and that seems like a good assumption, Esau's at least 40 years old at this point, probably at least a few years older than that, because it's long enough for Isaac and Rebekah to decide that his wives are a source of grief to him. And Isaac has to be old enough that he's becoming blind due to old age, and who knows why. There are any number of conditions. It could be cataracts. Who knows why he's blind, but he's old. And in fact, he thinks he's so old that he needs to take care of this. So he says in verse 2, "Isaac said, 'I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death,'" which is an interesting little euphemism. And what it actually means is, "I could die soon." And so what he's saying really is, "I don't know how much longer I'm going to live, and so I want to make sure I take care of what I'm about to say while I still can. 'Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die.'" So, blessing is a different word than birthright. And as we're going to see later in the chapter, Esau is going to distinguish between these two concepts. I suspect that in that culture, there probably is a practice throughout the culture of an elderly father giving some sort of blessing to his sons. In the case of the patriarchs, it has the added element of being prophetic. So Jacob is going to do the same thing for his sons when he's prepared to die. There's a parallel example or analogous example where Moses does this for the tribes of Israel. And so I think it's something that's probably not unusual in that culture as terms of a ritual or a rite, but what is unusual with the patriarchs is that they aren't just dads, they're prophets. And so there's very much a prophetic element to this. It's not, here's your new bike, here's your, you get grandma's ring. It's more of, here's what's going to happen to you. And so there's definitely a prophetic element to it. But it's clear, and it's going to become clear as the story goes on, he's also hoping to deliver something of value to Esau, and he wants Esau to get the primary blessing, okay? Despite the fact that there was a prophecy when the twins were born that Esau would actually serve Jacob. And so the question arises, well, why is Isaac doing that? And it is true, we discussed this afterwards, after class. There's nothing in the text, if you go back to 25, when Rebekah gets that prophecy, 23 says, the Lord said to her, and there's nothing in that text that she shared that with Isaac. So we don't know for sure that Isaac knows about this prophecy and he's proceeding with this plan despite the prophecy. But I think